This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
June 8th, John. National Best Friends Day. How about it?
All right.
Glad you're celebrating today, hanging around your best friends, huh?
That's true.
You know?
You guys are my best friends.
June 8th, yeah. So definitely go, you know, hang out with your best friend. I feel like it's hard to determine a true best friend. You guys have a solidified just...
Number one. Numero uno.
Yeah.
I feel like most people's best friend, like number one, is probably the person they've known the longest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
They kind of get put into default.
Yeah.
Does it always still like work out as your best friend, though? Like, is that still like the guy you talk to the most? Because I think those answers are different.
Some people kind of, you know, drift away a little bit.
I just think it's natural. Like, my best friend's probably the friend I've known, like, you know, the longest. You know, I got a buddy since, like, you know, we've been really close since, like, sophomore year of high school. But now he lives in Georgia and has, you know, a kid and two kids on the way, so we don't get to see each other too much. He works a lot, so like we don't talk that much either, but I guess I'd still consider him my best friend. But again, we don't talk very often.
Why don't you give him a call today? Tell him.
Oh, he would love that. He always wants to call and talk, and I'm just more of a texter. he has to commute like an hour, so like he's always wanting to call and talk to people on the phone. I'm like a minute, like tell me what you need to tell me, and like, all right, you good? Yeah. All right, man. Well, talk to you later.
I'm the same way. I hate talking on the phone.
Maybe I should. I don't really mind it, like, but...
Like you said, if it's like a 5-minute, 10-minute conversation,
usually
maybe.
With women. I don't want to talk to my boys for on the phone.
Like, what the hell y'all going to talk about, you know?
Maybe that's not even true. I'll be honest, like, I probably wouldn't want to talk to women on the phone if I'd known them since sophomore year of high school. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say that, like, I know everything about you, but, like, feel like, you know, once you get past that, like, that honeymoon phase of meeting somebody for the first time, you don't want to talk to anybody on the phone for over an hour. Yeah. You meet somebody for the first time, especially, you know, a love interest, yeah, you'll talk to them on the phone for hours. You'll be that walking around laying in goofy positions and tell me about your day and wow, that's so interesting. After that, it's just like, you good? I'll see you later. What do you want for dinner? All right.
Do you like talking on the phone before texting became a big thing? I guess you had no other choice, right?
I mean, again, I was like in sixth grade. 7th grade, like, yeah, when you get home and, yeah, you... I had talked to my friend then. My friends, like, when I was, like, in 6th and 7th grade, my boys, we'd talk on the phone for a while, you know, gossiping, doing things like that. Yeah,
gossiping.
Sure.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. Got caught one time bad on 3-way. Got down bad.
Uh-oh.
He tried to call a girl on 3-way and ask her out. She was cousins with the girl I was dating. Called her on 3-way, asked her out. She clearly lied to him. She wasn't interested. And then he started bashing her. I started bashing her. He said something about her mama. I laughed, and then he didn't hang up 3-way properly, and I got a phone call from the girl I was dating. I was like, so, and then it was her and the other girl on the phone. She's like, so what do you think about my mama? And I was just like, oh, God, what has happened? Needless to say, that was the end of that for me.
Tough. Those 3-way calls, man.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
That was back in the day. This all could have been settled with just a text. You could see who's in the text.
Yep.
No BCCs in the in the group text.
Right.
Wouldn't that be something if you could like hide somebody in the group text?
That would be very problematic.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
John, it is Tuesday. You know what that means. The Packers minicamp has officially started.
I didn't know what that meant. There was once a wrestler that he was in a pretty popular group. He has since passed, but he'd always tweet out, "It's Monday." You know what that means. It's Tuesday, you know what that means, and no one ever knew what
the hell he meant. Yeah. Well, yep. That's really funny.
Yep. That's awesome.
Every day, though, you knew what it meant, and no, you didn't. But it is Tuesday. I do not
and
know what
can't,
it means.
You can't ask either, because you're just like, oh, I'm out of the loop.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's true.
To me,
Tuesdays. Don't want to look not cool.
Tuesdays means I got to go ref bocce at Hops and Hollers. That's what it means to me.
How's that going, by the way? You liking it?
I've been off for the last 3 weeks, though, for
oh, okay.
Changeover of seasons, but we're back at it tonight.
Show me the ropes.
I'll show you the ropes. But that's what it means to me. It did not mean Packers OTA, but I assume that means – or Packers minicamp, you said, or OTAs?
It is minicamp.
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 So, yeah, that's the more important one.
All right. By the way, you want to go ahead and tell the audience how good I was at bocce, how I beat you in one of the two games we played?
Was it one of the two or one of the three? Did we play two or three?
Pretty sure we played two, and then you cowered away from the third game like a shy little puppy.
I don't think that's what happened. I think you had to go. I don't think I shot away.
Yeah. I don't know, Cam. I wish Cam was there, man.
There was
slinging that ball.
Okay, you got dominated the first game, and then the second game you did come in.
I want to say dominated for my first game ever. I've never played it before. By the way, yeah.
How hard?
Never played it before.
How hard is it to roll a ball? I mean, you act like you're out here reinventing the wheel.
Oh, you're gonna act like the sports is not that impressive. I mean, it takes some skill.
I'm saying it's not hard to pick up. You're acting like it was so hard. Like I was teaching you a foreign language.
Should have seen it, Ramon.
And you're speaking fluently after an hour. No, he
was shocked after I beat him that second game.
There was a golf.
I'm pretty good, Draven.
There was a golf.
I'm pretty good. I was like, okay, let's see it, tough guy.
There was a golf event. Remember, we had to get off because they had to do putt-putts on the course. Sure. You were there. You remember they had golf things set up over there. It was the Masters.
Something like that.
It was a Masters celebration.
Something like that.
Anyways, go ahead. What was the question? Packers.
Packers. Aaron Rodgers. Not there. Surprise, surprise, huh? And they've actually even brought in another quarterback as a tryout player because they need as many quarterbacks as they can get. Jake DeLagio. DeLogila.
Yes.
DeLogila. Is that how you say it, Cam? DeLogila?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay. Either way, anything to take away here? Aaron Rodgers still not showing up. I mean,
He's gone, man.
You think so?
Yeah. Heard the last straw is they didn't get Julio. Julio breaking up the league.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
So if they got Julio, he'd be happy to come back, but they didn't get him Julio. So
again, they can use an excuse for him so he doesn't get fined. I believe the fine was like, what did I say yesterday? Like $95,000, right? Yeah. Something crazy like that.
This new festival going on sale, Cam. These look so much better. I need somebody to buy my Lollapalooza ticket. I put it for sale.
Which festival is this one?
Yeah, what festival?
Red Rocks.
Oh, jeez.
Where's that at?
Yeah. At the
Colorado.
The amphitheater.
Rocks, amphitheater. Yeah. JID.
Oh,
Earth
my
Gang.
God. Oh,
yes,
gosh.
Yeah. Maryland.
What is it, straight finals. Dreamville?
Yeah, I think so.
Dang. Oh, no way.
That's awesome.
When is this one?
October 23rd. It'd been way more fun.
I can't do it.
Festival guy?
I don't want to go to Lollapalooza.
I love how you guys keep saying you guys are festival guys. Have you guys even went to one yet?
I'm going. The 15th.
Yeah, they haven't happened yet this year.
You want to buy my Lollapalooza ticket?
How much?
We'll work out a payment plan. I'll talk to you about it off the air. Unless you want the full thing. I mean, just saying, like, it might be a $350.
I ain't got nobody to go with, man. You got to go
with
people.
You can go with Cam.
Cam, you still going? I thought Cam was selling it, too.
Cam's still going.
I
thought you were selling it.
I'm in there.
Go hang on with Cam.
Okay.
I'm a little too old for these festivals. That's what I've decided.
Festival guy over here now. He's saying he's too old. Come on.
Actually, what happened was the trip the week before to Wyoming or Montana is just going to be way more expensive than I thought. The lodging is going to be way more expensive. It's going to be much too much of a hassle to do.
Probably should have thought about that.
Well, I know.
Beforehand a little bit, but
you think so, Draven? You think I should have thought about it before? You think so?
Oh God!
You don't think I've thought about that since then? That I should have thought about before? And also, like I was planning on going to Omaha. If we go to Omaha, I might try to go out there for a weekend at least. So it's just a lot of traveling. So I'd rather sell these tickets. You want to buy them?
God, you do sound old right now, man. What are you talking about?
Let's go, young guy. You want them? You want to go to Lollapalooza?
Maybe. Depends on the price. I won't pay too much.
We'll talk about it off the air.
Okay. Either way. Got another
little
headline.
That's so much fun, man. You wear your shirts.
Oh, I could. I could just completely unbutton them. Yeah. Wow.
You'd have such a good time. Might be the love of your life out there.
You never know.
You look like you'd fit in Chicago pretty well.
I don't know. Festival girl, though. Should that be the love of your life? Is that really?
I don't know, man. Every time I have a friend go to a music festival, they always find the love of their life. Like they always come back obsessed with somebody. Now, it doesn't usually work out, but like, we just had such a great time. She's the one.
Yeah,
we had an out-of-body experience as we're tripping on Molly and doing a bunch of stuff. So
Jedi flips, stupid sack.
You'll find the love of your life, at least for a weekend.
Yeah.
Something to keep in mind.
That's more than some people ever
get to know them pretty well. Yeah. You'll spend every minute with them.
Yeah.
Just something to consider.
Okay. We'll see. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Got
a maybe, Cam. Got a maybe.
What do you guys think about, for the second time in his career, a decade apart as well, John, Tom Thibodeau, NBA's Coach of the Year.
He looked like the Coach of the Year when he couldn't figure out how to beat the Hawks.
Yep.
It's a stupid award. It's a regular season award. It's really, can you get your team to overachieve? They were picked to be bad. They were good. They tried hard. I mean,
Monty Williams. We're not going to think about Monty Williams. Is that just more about Chris Paul? Is that what people are going to point towards?
Well, that was a discussion we had whenever – because Monty got voted by the coaches, right? The coaches voted Monty Williams. His peers voted him Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
The media gave it to Tom Thibodeau, which, again, the Knicks should have been bad, and they weren't. They were good, and he helped unlock Julius Randle. But, again, I think you saw Thibodeau's limitations – in the playoffs when he, you know, just completely just mismanaged that series. But whatever. I mean, whatever. Again, it's just who exceeds expectations. He's not the best coach in the NBA. I don't even think he's in the top 15 in the NBA, like of actual coaches. Maybe right around 15.
But it is nice to see this award not go to just the top record in the league, because that's the trap this has fallen into multiple times.
I mean, sometimes whenever there's surprises, like, I mean, like, Budenholzer got it when the Hawks had the second best record in the league when they won, like, 60 games, but they were supposed to be bad that year. And who won it last year? Who won Coach of the Year last year? I guess before the bubble.
That was a couple years ago.
I don't even know who won it last year. I guess it was weird, I guess, after that. Is it?
I don't know.
Dwayne Casey won it one year and then got fired that same year. Yeah.
It was Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse won it last year?
2020.
Yeah, 2020, when they were the
lost Kawhi, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
that would have been in the year, though. And they still were
the two seed. Okay.
Yeah, not a lot of, I mean, Budenholzer was here before, like you said, Dwayne Casey. All three of those guys could, like, not looking too good right now. I was going to say, all three of those guys not looking great.
Again, Budenholzer, sure, like, it was real so to me. Like, before. It was more so like, okay, now Giannis is really good at basketball. Like, maybe, I guess he, like, wasn't holding him back like Jason Kidd was, but, you know, it's a stupid award. I don't care about that award.
Pretty much every guy that's won, it's almost like Steve Kerr's the only guy that's still. Still, I mean, got a decent tenure.
Like, Budenholzer was out of the Hawks after winning it. Like, he's like gone like 2 years later. So, yeah. I mean, like,
shows how much that means.
Last headline for hour two after 22 years. Tim Priest stepping away as a color commentator for the Vol Network. Yeah. A fantastic 22 years. A Tennessee legend. Tim Priest still holds the record here for most interceptions. A stud defensive back here at Tennessee. And the voice of the fans. You know, Tim Priest was a, especially as Tennessee spiraled into madness, he was the voice of frustration and just disgust. And everyone else that works over there at the Vol Network and, you know, works with the university was trying to kind of tell you things were okay and, hey, stay patient and, hey, you know, sell the positives. But not Tim.
Yep.
Tim was just like, damn it! Him screaming, damn it, after bashing Quentin Dormady down at the swamp. For that goal line situation, that goal line disaster is one of the funniest calls. A legend. He's gone. Great career. Says he wants to go and watch his grandkids, play their athletic careers. I don't blame him for not wanting to stick through this football program right now. Go enjoy the rest of your life, Tim. Go make memories with your family. John Ward got to go out with the national title. I wish Tim Priest got to go better than 3-7 with the disaster of a season we had last year. But either way, hell of a career. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment's brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your lane. Located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Go throw some axes and support the people who support us. Get your 15% off. Pretty cool scene in Columbia as Virginia hits a walk-off in South Carolina. Poor Gamecocks. No one's there. I was wondering why no one was at the game. It's also a Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the morning game, but also it's in Columbia, and South Carolina didn't make it. Poor Old Dominion was a national seed, but didn't get to host because their, I guess, AD didn't get the paperwork in time. So now they lose, and Virginia advances, so... Pretty cool walk-off. Pretty cool walk-off. I see Houston tweet out more bleachers. Do we have an update on the bleachers? Or I'm trying to see. I didn't see it. Okay, never mind. We'll keep waiting. Either way. Now, what were you asking me during the break? Something about an NFL list? Let's talk some NFL. What do you got for me today? What's the current NFL topic? Julio Jones, you know. Are people still talking about him today? I've had my Colts fans friends mad at me sending me things about how the only, you know, Tennessee increased by 0.5 on the win total, co-favorites, all those things.
Not a lot.
I understand the Colts fans that are excited about the computers. That's the only where. That's the only place they've been relevant in the last 4 years because they keep getting projected every year to be so great, and then, you know, still haven't won a division, and I think have one playoff win in 4 years. But either way, Julio, we'll see. Ryan Tannehill did restructure his contract today to open up the cap space to acquire and sign and get Julio in and ready to go. So that's official.
What a guy.
I mean, it's a good thing for him. He just gets more cash, right? Isn't that how it works? He just gets like a little bonus. They have to like pay him out as a signing bonus, essentially. Easy for him to do, but now it's official. What's the other NFL topic of the day outside of Aaron Rodgers? Top rated linebackers, is that what you were telling me, Draven?
Yeah, we also have ranked the PFF ranked the best NFL coaches as well, NFL head coaches, ahead of the 2021 season.
Say that again. So ranking the top coaches of the 2021 season?
Yeah.
Who is this ranking them?
Let's see. It's the Eric Eager.
For like what website?
Pro Football Focus.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He knows his stuff a little bit.
Okay. I mean, yeah, can't imagine there's so many just like complete nincompoops out there. So he ranked the top NFL coaches in the league. All right, number one. I assume we're still giving Bill Belichick the rub at number one.
No, negative.
Who?
Andy Reid.
Oh, interesting. How do you feel about that, Draven?
I don't know.
You know, I've been thinking about that. So it's funny. So Andy Reid gets credit for being the number one coach in the NFL.
Kind of feels like Mahomes kind of, you know, saved his ass a little bit, right?
I mean, I don't know. Andy Reid went to a bunch of NFC championships with Donovan McNabb and made Kevin Cobb look good. Yeah. Turned Alex Smith into a pretty good quarterback. They won 11 games with him.
Could never achieve in the postseason.
Again, went to a Super Bowl. Went to a bunch of NFC championships. I mean, didn't achieve the ultimate goal, sure, but Mahomes never won a Super Bowl without Andy Reid. It's not like it's – can't point and say that, like, you know, he did that for him. So that's weird. So Andy Reid's number one. I wonder when they do these tight end rankings where Travis Kelce will come in at. Number one or number two, I would imagine, right? I mean, is Kelce number one the best tight end in the league still? I mean, I think Kittle's better. But
they're going to say him, Kittle – they'll probably throw Waller up there, too.
I don't think you'll put Waller above either one of those.
Yeah, I don't think you would, but he'll probably be top three there.
Tyreek Hill probably lists as a top 10 receiver.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. I always just see people talk about Derrick Henry's run game when they talk about Ryan Tannehill's success. But with Patrick Mahomes, they never mentioned that he has the best coach and best tight end and top 10 receiver. It's weird how that kind of happens.
Again, like Andy Reid completely underachieved, like, almost every time. Like, yeah, he had some good teams, whatever, made Alex Smith good, but they always choked in the playoffs. They couldn't even beat Marcus Mariota.
You literally just sat here and told me that Eric Kegel knows his stuff. You literally just said that. Now you're arguing with him? He just said Andy Reid's the best coach in the league. You say he knows his stuff. Which one is it?
I disagree with this.
Oh, okay.
Don't agree with everything.
So, I mean, where do you put Andy Reid at yourself?
I mean, he's still a top five coach. Top three, maybe.
Okay. I mean, who's better? In your opinion, I mean, Belichick, that's fine. I mean, if Mike McCarthy, I mean, who's up there?
I'd probably put Belichick still number one.
Okay.
Still has the track record. He had one down season.
I'm not arguing with that.
One down season.
I'm not arguing with that. That's fine.
Sean McDermott? I think Sean McDermott's a hell of a coach.
Okay. So you think he's the second best coach? But, again, it's a little weird that you would talk about Andy Reid not winning anything and then put Sean McDermott number two, and Sean McDermott hasn't won anything, but –
I mean, he's only been a coach for how long?
5 years? He benched Tyrod Taylor for Nathan Peterman and had Nathan Peterman put on maybe the worst quarterback performance of all time.
He took that team to the playoffs as bad as and embarrassing as that performance was.
Because he went back to Tyrod Taylor, not because of Nathan Peterman. Nathan Peterman got benched and they went back to Tyrod.
Completely kind of revamped Josh Allen from what we thought was going to be a scrub to an MVP caliber quarterback this past year.
Sounds a lot like what Andy Reid's done with his quarterbacks throughout the history.
What are you talking about? Mahomes was good from the get-go, man.
I mean, Andy Reid coached before Kansas City. He won games.
He made Alex Smith look.
He won games.
By the way, Alex Smith was still a number one pick. Okay. He just kind of unleashed him. Sorry, Alex Smith was terrible in San Francisco when they were a complete disaster.
Where did Josh Allen get drafted at, Kim?
10th.
Okay, so like he took a big project, some scrub, and turned him into a good quarterback. Not just like a freak athlete with a strong arm that was a number 10 pick. Oh, okay.
There's a lot of people who were out on Josh Allen after that first year.
He was 7, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he took a top 7 pick and turned him into a good quarterback. He deserves praise for that, but not Andy Reid for making Alex Smith look good because Alex Smith was once upon a time a number 1 quarterback. Interesting.
I'm not trying to disrespect Andy Reid. He's a good coach. He's a top three coach.
I'm just wondering how Sean McDermott's better than him if he hasn't won anything and you're putting Andy Reid down for only winning one Super Bowl. I'm just trying to figure out the math here.
There were some good teams with the Eagles, by the way. Yeah, T.O., Brian Westbrook in his prime.
There was also some years where the best receiver he had was Freddie Mitchell. There's also some times when Todd Pinkston was his best receiver. Like, there were some issues there. Yeah. There were some issues there.
So you'd put him number one, is what it sounds like. You agree with this?
I mean, I'm putting him ahead of Sean McDermott. Okay. I'm fine. Look, I don't. Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, 1-2, whatever. My bigger point was I was just thinking out loud. Andy Reid seems pretty respected. Travis Kelce, top of his craft. Tyreek Hill, pretty good. Just never hear people say that when it comes to Mahomes. It's always Ryan Tannehill has Derrick Henry. That's just whenever we see those graphics.
Ryan Tannehill has also never won a Super Bowl, so
that's fine. That's a team
also
sport.
Never had the stats that Mahomes has had.
Actually, the stats side by side look really comparable. We've gone through that in the last 26 starts. No, all of them. Mahomes got a couple more yards, but I think Tannehill had more touchdowns and less interceptions. But either way, just thinking out loud again, because it's not just you. It's really just the narrative around, you know, everybody. You see Ryan Tannehill get talked about. It's, well, he's got Derrick Henry. But, again, no one dares argue about Patrick Mahomes having the best coach in the league and best tight end in the league and maybe the best game breaker in the league at wide receiver. No one ever talks about Aaron Rodgers having Devontae Adams or Aaron Jones, who are both pretty good. Kind of just pointing out some hypocrisies. Same as Giannis, same as Luka. It's all about narrative. People just get these narratives in their head and they just go, they run wild with them. You agree with that, though? Now that you sit here and think about it, Draven, you kind of see it. You kind of see it. The narrative just pushing things around. The things we acknowledge of some people and hide for the others.
We're not going to sit here and compare Tannehill to Mahomes.
I'm not trying to compare Tannehill to Mahomes. I mean, the stats do, but I don't need to do that. Mahomes is better. Mahomes is great. But I also think, like, we say some people are great because of their situation while acting like others don't benefit from having a great situation.
I've said Tannehill is close to a top 10 quarterback, borderline top 10 quarterback.
It's fine. That's okay.
What do you want us to say? Is it the third best quarterback in the NFL? I don't understand what Titans fans want us to say about Ryan Tannehill.
No, you're missing the point. The point is just, again, this narrative that people push. That's it. I was just thinking about that when you pointed out that he has the best coach in the NFL. Seems like you'd benefit from that. Seems like that'd be something that'd be pretty good.
Right.
And again, when you add in the best tight end in the league and best game breaker in the league at wide receiver, it would be a pretty good weapons to have. Huh. No one ever points it out, though. Who's the second best coach in the league? You said Bill Belichick was number two?
He's not.
Oh, wow.
Bill Belichick's not even in the top five, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about some disrespect from Eric Kegler? Kegler? Siegler?
Kager.
Kager?
I think it's Kager.
Close enough. The cake man. So he doesn't have Belichick in the top five. Who does he have at number two?
Actually, it's Eager. Not Kager.
The Eag dog.
He has number two, John Harbaugh.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I mean, I don't think it's that crazy of a take. Harbaugh's been pretty consistent.
I do think it's a crazy take. How many playoff games has John Harbaugh won in the last 5 years? One?
I think so.
Is that it? They missed the playoffs 3 straight years. They switched to Lamar, lost to the Chargers, lost to the Titans, and then beat the Titans last year. They got one playoff win in 6 years? And I'm supposed to believe he is the second best coach in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, it was
I'm
smart.
Not with that one.
It was good that Lamar saved his job. I understand that. Like, I'm not. Am I wrong? I know he's got a Super Bowl trophy, a ring. That's good.
Yeah. Since 2014, he's won 2 playoff games.
In today's,
so he won one in 2014. Then,
yeah.
But then again, one win in 6 years.
Lost to the Patriots. Yeah, and then had those 3 straight years they didn't make the playoffs, and then lost to the.
So 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 6 years. One playoff win. Okay.
Two playoff wins. If you're counting 14, you count.
Well, no.
Oh, okay. 15,
16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 6 years.
Beat your Titans on the road.
They did beat my Titans. He did. I don't know if it was his game plan that did it or whatever. Like, he beat us, and I don't know how many times I can Didn't they
kind of shut down Derrick Henry a little bit? Didn't he kind of go quiet in that game?
I mean, I think the Titans' injuries on the offensive line kind of helped there, and I've made my...
What the hell are you talking about? They had those injuries during the regular season, too.
I know. The Ravens have a really
and
good
Derrick
defensive
Henry,
line.
And Derrick Henry, you tell me, rushed for still 2,000 yards, correct?
The Titans have... The Ravens have a very good defensive line. The Ravens... I don't know. Does John Harbaugh coach the defense? I thought he was a special teams coach. Was he not a special teams coach?
I would say he has a little bit more of an impact than just special teams.
I'm just,
as a head coach.
I'm just asking
John,
if he's like
come
a
on,
I'm asking if he's a defensive mastermind. I don't feel like he's like some defensive guy that would come up with that game plan. But either way, John Harbaugh did good in his one playoff win in 6 years. Whatever adjustments he made from the time he got shellacked as the one seed at home with the unanimous MVP, maybe that vaulted him in there. He had a year to think about getting absolutely embarrassed at home. So, yes, maybe that one. What a stupid loss to the Ravens. I have to listen to this. Titans no show, and I'm supposed to just talk about how great the Ravens are now. Okay. Titans no showed. I acknowledge that. That was a Titans failure. It wasn't the Ravens winning. It was a Titans no showing. Arthur Smith was out here moonlighting looking for jobs. Our second receiver is Cleef Raymond. Derrick Henry didn't play well. I'm imagining we'll play better with a healthy offense.
You know what he isn't, though? You know what he isn't? He's not a coward. He went for it 64% of the time when he should have in 2020, among the league's highest rates.
I will say he is good at that. It does help when you run the ball the way they run and you have Lamar Jackson. You know, I will say
What are you talking about? Well, I didn't. Your boy Vrabel go for it on 4th and 2 when he's got the best running back in the NFL.
Because you just told me that Derrick Henry wasn't playing well that game, and I I mean, you did say that, didn't you? Didn't you say Derrick Henry was getting shut down that game?
I think in a big moment like that,
I think Vrabel
you give it to your best player and take the opportunity.
I think Vrabel should have gone for it. I don't think he should have handed the ball off. I would pass it. I maybe would have handed it off on 3rd down. And for, if you're going to hand it off both times, and they came out and threw the ball and then punted. I thought that was a disaster. But please note, I never praised Mike Vrabel or said he should be ahead of John Harbaugh. I've never said that. So, like, Harbaugh does go aggressively on 4th down. He didn't really do that until he got Lamar. But he has taken advantage of his personnel. Is that enough to make him the number two coach in the league? The fact that he goes for 4th downs, maybe. Who's number three?
Number three.
Sean Payton.
Was there any youngins?
Matt LaFleur.
Oh,
young guy.
That is a young
Packers. Matt LaFleur is the 3rd best coach in the NFL. The guy who tried to kick a field goal down 8 with Aaron Rodgers is the 3rd best coach in the NFL. What does the 4th down chart say on that one, Draven? What does Eric – does he contradict himself? Is he pulling a Draven here and going to argue one thing for one coach and then argue against it the other way? Like, what's happening here? Was he saying it was innovative to try that? Maybe it'll confuse the defense. We'll kick a field goal here.
Despite his decision at the end of the 2020 NFC Championship game, he's been mostly good at the edge case.
Mostly
going
good.
For it on 4th down 75% of the time. He should have in 2020. Good for 2nd in the NFL.
Behind whom? I thought you said Harbaugh was number one. Harbaugh was only 64%, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what it said.
So how was he 2nd?
Well, he said
75%?
Among the league's highest rates.
He
didn't say the highest rate. Okay. I don't know who would have the highest rate.
Riverboat Ron.
Maybe.
Who ironically got that nickname because he would never go for it on 4th and 1 with Cam Newton. And then eventually he went for it one time and everyone was like, oh, wow, he's so brave. It's like, no, you got a 260-pound battering ram in your backfield. Just let him batter. This seems like a bad list.
Yeah. Number 4 is Sean McDermott.
I think McDermott's good. Please don't mistake what I was doing whenever you're bashing Andy Reid and then praising Sean McDermott despite having less accolades as me saying Sean McDermott's not good. I do think he is a really good coach. I do think he has learned, but I do still remember him benching Tyrod Taylor while they were winning to go to Nathan Peterman and have him have, what, 6 turnovers in 1 half? 4 turnovers in 1 half? Whatever it was.
It was like 5 interceptions total, right?
Well, whatever it was. I do remember him still doing that and thinking Nathan Peterman was good and like going back to him at another time and a point in time as well. So like
Peterman.
I haven't forgotten that about McDermott. But I have no problem with him being number 4. He's a defensive guy, right?
Yes. McDermott. Yeah, he was defensive coordinator with the Panthers before.
Which I mean his defense has been good there. The offense, are we giving McDermott the credit for Josh Allen, or is that a Greg Roman thing? Because Greg Roman did the same thing with Colin Kaepernick. Kind of do the same thing in Baltimore as well. Like, are we not Roman?
I was about to say they got
Roman.
They got the other guy.
What is his name? Oh, he was
DeBall.
DeBall, yeah, Dabble.
DeBall.
I don't know. I call him Dabble, but I think it's DeBall.
Sounds cooler.
Not Greg
Brian
Roman.
DeBall.
Dabble. Dabble has gotten the credit there.
Yeah.
I feel like he's the guy that kind of fixed Josh Allen. But McDermott's defense has been really good too. I mean, I'm sure he's had a top 10 defense, I feel like, since he's gotten there. So like, he's really good at coaching defense.
Surprise for number five, Sean Payton does make the list ahead of one spot ahead of Bill Belichick.
First of all, like Bill Belichick, I mean, is this like judging off of last year? I guess like did Belichick just have a bad year last year? Did he like mail it in?
I mean, it's pretty much what the thing is going into the 2021 season. Okay. So,
but I wonder like how many years in the past are taking? Because I mean, I don't know if Belichick's still a top five coach anymore. Like I didn't think Belichick did a good job last year. There's that one game on like Monday night, whatever, when he blew it against the Chiefs because he didn't know how to challenge and didn't know what he was doing. Like I don't think he had a good year last year, by any means. Feels a little disrespectful to have Sean Payton ahead of him because what is the argument for Sean Payton as the number five coach?
Just
in the
talking
NFL?
About Breeze missing games, they're still able to do pretty well without him.
Okay. They went 12-4 and they had Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback.
Yeah,
it
talks about Michael
something.
Thomas being really disappointing and still being pretty productive offensively.
I mean, Cam, do you feel like Sean Payton's a good coach? I know you hate the Saints, but like he has done a good job kind of game planning around Drew Brees' absences. I do agree with that.
Yeah, no, he's a good coach. Like that, yeah, obviously that there kind of mentions, you know, he's been useful with that. Like, I mean, even like Teddy Bridgewater the year before where Drew Brees was out, you know, you make it work. He's really good at that. He's still a really good offensive coach, I think, as
eight
far
and
as
two and,
taking advantage
games,
of stuff.
Brees missed.
Yeah. Like, I think he's a good enough offensive coach that he can make something happen regardless. Help that they had a really good defense last year, obviously, and the year before that. But he's able to coach him up to do at least enough on offense. He's fine at that spot. I don't hate that.
I think he'll have a big opportunity this year, like with Winston. Like, I mean, if they...
You're going to find out a lot about him.
Yeah, if they still win and are still good, then I think he will earn himself a lot of respect. Mm-hmm. But... kind of reinvented himself, or not reinvented, he did kind of reinvent himself to have more of a defensive team, but like there was that stretch there where 7-9, three straight years, it looked like he was going to be out of there, but he was still a hot name, like, you know, it was a talk of Dallas trading for him and bringing him in, but we'll see. I mean, Sean Payton hasn't had a lot of playoff success.
Yeah, that's his one issue, I think.
Lately, I mean, he's got the one Super Bowl ring, but outside of that, like, he has lost some games he shouldn't have lost. He's, you know, you can say he got screwed in the game against the Rams, and maybe that's true. Maybe they would have won that Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brees shouldn't have thrown that pick.
Brees shouldn't have thrown the pick. It shouldn't have been that close. They were clearly better than that Rams team, I thought. So he's number five. Belichick comes in number six, I'd imagine.
Yep. Belichick six. It did say, just going off the fourth down, was it admissible situations or whatever, they only went for it on just 39% of it. That ranked 24th in the NFL for the Patriots last year.
You would think they'd have been more aggressive, too, if their run game. They were pretty good at.
Right.
They're pretty good at running, but I mean, like, if you're relying on the pass, like, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't trust Cam to throw a 3-yard pass. He couldn't get it there.
How much pressure is Belichick on this season, you think?
After what do we think?
Like, getting all these free agents.
Like him getting fired or like him having to retire?
He's I don't think he's ever going to get fired. I
think it'd be a forced retirement situation.
You're right, yeah.
But I mean, I don't necessarily know how Robert Kraft feels about him because, I mean, the whole narrative surrounding that situation was that Robert Kraft was a Brady guy.
Yeah,
wanted Brady. Wanted to choose Brady, like to the point where they traded Jimmy G to like extend Brady and like let him stay there. So, I don't know how Robert Kraft feels, but Belichick legacy wise has already taken a hit, right? Imagine 2 years ago Bill Belichick being listed as a sixth best coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I mean, like another bad year. I mean, that's gonna make him look even more so. Like maybe it was a Brady ran the offense type of thing. Last year they had a lot of opt-outs, didn't have a quarterback, but you had a full year to figure out what you're going to do at quarterback.
I mean, they still 7-9 for that team last year with all the kind of issues they had. Still not terrible, right? You had Cam Newton barely throwing it over 10 yards. Like, come on.
And you play the Jets twice. There's two wins there. So really you went five games against the rest of the league, basically. It's not terrible, I guess, but like Cam was his guy. Like Cam picked him, he picked Cam. He didn't have it. Like, did he get caught flat-footed that Brady was gone? Like, I mean, that was a rumor for, like, 3 years before he left. You know what I mean? Like, did he not have a better contingency plan other than, like, hey, am I going with Jared Stidham or Cam Newton? Like, I mean, to me, that's a part of his job, too. I mean, he's the GM. He runs the team. Now, does that affect his coaching? Maybe we shouldn't hold that against his coaching. But you got to have a plan. We knew Tom Brady was out of there.
Yep.
And, again, this year, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like what I keep saying with the Colts, like, I get you got caught flat-footed with Andrew Luck retiring, but that was how many years ago at this point? Three? Like, you're heading into your third season since Luck retired. Like, if you're still trying to, like, scramble and find a quarterback, like, how good is your GM actually? Like, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe Carson Wentz is good and they hit a home run, but if Carson Wentz stinks and, like, you find yourself 3 years later still looking for a quarterback and you, like, ruin a good roster, because, I mean, I think we can acknowledge the Colts roster's good.
Yeah.
But, like, if you can't find a quarterback, and Phillip Rivers was fine last year, he was solid, but he obviously didn't get you over the hump. You didn't win a playoff game. And your response to that was, well, I guess we'll roll the dice on Carson Wentz here. That is surprising to me. Like, you don't get to have the Andrew Luck argument for, or the Andrew Luck excuse forever.
Yep.
Same with Belichick and the Patriots. Like, you knew Brady was getting out of there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You should have had a plan. Now, you went with Mac Jones, so Mac Jones better be good. Like, Mac Jones is going to have to be the quarterback of the future there. Kind of the same as, like, the Packers. They're like, oh, well, we had our plan with Jordan Love. Okay, let's see what it looks like. But they're like, no, we don't want to show you what it looks like. We're not ready. Now, the Texans, I'll give a pass because they kind of came out of nowhere for Deshaun. So, like, I understand if they're scrambling. Like, I don't hold them that responsible for not having a backup plan for him. But for Brady, probably should have had one, Belichick. Go ahead and run through the rest of the top 10 there.
I guess they only did, like, a top 7 because the list ends at 7. But they had Kevin Stefanski coming at number 7.
Oh, so it ends there?
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski gets number 7. But, you know, I don't really have much of a problem with right now.
Ugh. I mean, did pretty damn good this past year.
No, I thought he had a really good game plan. I thought he managed his personnel well, handled injuries, and, you know, built a pretty good culture. Now, I want to see what they look like this year when they had a little bit more, you know, expectations, because they were kind of under the radar last year. But I think Stefanski's good. Can he build off that, or is it just more like, hey, at least you're not Freddie Kitchens type of thing?
Yeah.
But I think Cleveland's got a good coach.
He was the leader in the fourth downs, by the way.
Was he?
The league high, 81% of missable fourth downs.
Wow, okay. Yeah. That's good. I mean, they had a good run game, but, you know, Baker was good too, so. I wonder where Vrabel ranked in the fourth downs. It doesn't have a list of guys in fourth down, right? Because Vrabel was sometimes – he's sometimes aggressive and sometimes not, and then obviously in the playoffs when it mattered the most, he punted like a coward.
Where would you put Vrabel? Is he still you think he's a top 10 coach?
12.
You don't think he's a top 10 coach?
Anywhere from 9 to 12. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't have my list ready. Like, who hasn't been named, Cam, that you would put in there? Like, I'd take Vrabel over Pete Carroll. Mike Tomlin not worthy of being number 8? Like, I mean,
what about Sean McVay?
Yeah, McVay. Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan?
No, not Shanahan yet.
Brian Flores over in Miami.
Yeah. I mean, he's done good. Yeah, now we'll see what he does this year.
You need to see more from a lot of these guys, I think.
I mean, like, Vrabel's made the playoffs all 3 years. No, that's not true. 2 of the 3 years.
You can almost argue Rivera, almost to the extent.
We'll see. They still went 7-9 last year. Like, I mean, I get they won that division, but, like, if the division wasn't terrible, like, I don't think we'd be talking about Rivera after going 7-9.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, he does have a Super Bowl appearance. And is well respected, but no, I mean, Vrabel's top 15. I think he's more of a culture guy than he is like an X's and O's guy. Although Vrabel's pretty smart when it comes to some stuff. I mean, like, he knows how to manipulate rules. I mean, he did that where he ran, you know, time off the clock against the Patriots in the playoffs 2 years ago by, you know, taking penalties on purpose, and against the Texans this year took a 12-man penalty on purpose to stop the clock. He knows how to manipulate some of that stuff, and I think he's a good culture guy, but still lacks on a couple things. Where would you put McCarthy?
About 15, 16, about average, I'd say.
Yeah. I think that's about right. Maybe even like 18, somewhere 16 to 18. Again, I don't have a list, like, prepared.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. If what I'm being told is true, Tennessee baseball fans are going to be pretty, pretty, pretty upset tomorrow. What I'm being told from somebody over in the ticket office right now is that there are, let me just put it, very limited options that will actually go on sale to the general public tomorrow.
So who's getting all the tickets then?
Well, we have very quickly, I guess, got to the part of the part of being good. That you then sell out and reward the people that, like, become, like, it becomes a hot ticket. Think of it as like the Nashville Predators syndrome, like when they were able to, like, go to the Stanley Cup, and all of a sudden the fans that kind of helped be around get priced out or get big boyed. And I don't want to be like, woe is me, because, you know, I am a guy that's, you know, only been around for a couple series, at least trying to go. But it does seem like it has now become such a hot ticket that the football money is going to kind of come and overtake it. The Tennessee fund money. The people that Danny White appreciates and tweets out that thanking them for giving like $25,000 donations.
Maybe he should just text a friend.
I was told that the only seats that are going to be available to the general public tomorrow are the extra bleachers that
what
they're putting in.
Ooh,
that's nuts.
Yeah, that like every seat, like you know, up the first baseline, you know, home plates. Third baseline, where basically all the seats are, those are already spoken for. And that the only seats that will be on sale come from, you know, will be with the general public. The general
that can't be that much with just the bleachers.
No, I believe the number I was given, and I hope I don't, I hope I'm not violating any trust here, but 350 tickets is all that's going to be on sale for the public tomorrow.
350?
What?
Yep, 350 tickets. That's what I was told.
Come on.
That's nuts. Yeah, people are not going to love that.
So if you are banking on trying to get tickets tomorrow, you're going to be in trouble from the sounds of it. Which, I guess this is what happens. And if you are someone who wants to be locked in for the foreseeable futures until these renovations can accommodate more fans, you better buy your season tickets, which... good investment by people that bought them. I believe season tickets before the year were only $150, and you get, like, priority. So, like, good for them. Smart investment.
Okay.
Wish I'd had the foresight to do it. But, yeah. Yeah. This tickets situation tomorrow, just going to go ahead and brace you for it. It's going to be an ugly morning on Vol Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to not be happy.
That seems like a bad idea.
They're going to be cranky from waking up early, too, to try to cop one of those.
I guess the good news is the phone lines, you won't have to work them very long.
Yeah.
Those tickets should be gone in about 25 minutes of phone calls.
What do you think about this, John?
I think it's just what happens when you have a winning program. It becomes the hot ticket. I compare it to the Nashville Predators. I mean, that's what happened for a while there. Their home ice wasn't as good as it used to be. And I do think you'll have it affect Tennessee's home field here, you know, if you don't have necessarily loud and rowdy friends and you kind of get replaced them with the money.
Oof.
Right? I mean, when people, you know, when the big boosters that are there for like, well, here's what happens in sports. I guess is the way I'm trying to say it. I don't want to even like pick on big boosters because some of them obviously love the program a lot. If you're given $1 million or however many dollars, you love the program.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not as rowdy as you once were. Maybe you are. I don't know. I don't want to say it. But I will say it's when this ticket situation starts happening like this, and a team starts winning, it seems like it becomes a social event more than it does a sporting event.
Yeah, you're gonna get the people that aren't as rowdy.
Wait, right. whoa, what about students? Is this the same situation for students too? We're not gonna have any students out there screaming. That's Tony Vitello out there shoving them and smacking them on the back of the head. Like, what the hell are we talking about?
I ain't seen the tweet from Danny saying he's going to. Accommodate the standing room only tickets this time.
Would we do this now, man? Why not just do what we've been doing?
Money.
Look at the crowd. Look at the atmosphere we just had this past weekend. Look at the freaking walk-off grand slam we had. Everybody going absolutely nuts.
It makes a situation where it becomes a social event, and you have people that maybe even really notice what was going on.
Money.
Well, even extra money. It's just like, hey, I give you $50,000 a year for football press boxes, but suites. How about you come up off some of those tickets? Let me buy some of them. I want to try that out. That looks fun.
Yeah.
And you can't tell them no because they give you $50,000 a year or $25,000 a year or $10,000 a year, whatever it is, for you to be like, you know what? Go ahead. Here's some tickets. I know you want to be here.
How much is this going to kill the atmosphere? You think it's going to be pretty dramatic?
Maybe those fans. I don't want to say
come
like the big
on,
money
John,
people can't be around.
No.
But like, no, when you're replacing the drunk college students and you're
that's
replacing people like can afford $10 tickets. I mean, even already at $90 a ticket, you might have priced out some people.
Wow, that's crazy.
As Bear points out, it'll keep LSU fans out of the main section. That's sure, but like that's true. But it's going to keep I don't even know if that like keeps them from reselling because some of these people are going to like resell their tickets regardless. I mean,
right.
Not all Tennessee fans that buy them will keep them. So there will still be some LSU fans there, and they'll probably be willing to pay more of a premium. That's understandable. But I don't even know when I say that there's no tickets available. Like, it seemed like the section for the opposing fans is kind of like, you know, right above third base, like on that second level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They might already have those tickets roped off for LSU, like, you know, friends and family as well already. So, like, I don't even know if they'll necessarily keep them out of it. Might keep some of them out of it, but, like, you'll still have some LSU fans up there. LSU got 600 tickets, according to Trey Wallace. So, like, LSU's going to bring some fans, and there will be a couple more hundred that will come and try to rebuy them, buy them on the resale market, and it might be at the point where this backfires, and the Tennessee fans who are reselling their tickets are going to jack the price up so much that Tennessee fans probably won't want to pay it, but LSU fans will, because, like, you know what? Let's go take over and party in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Corn dogs for everybody. I got some Crown Royal. Do that oral sex thing to our tiger, you know what?
Ooh.
So, you know, you're asking what it does to the atmosphere. Maybe it's still such a new thing, Draven, it's such a big game that it'll be rowdy and the people with the money will still come out here and celebrate. Or maybe, like I said, it'll price out your maniacs and your people more willing to get drunk and get rowdy. I don't know. It's something to keep in mind. But I'm just wanting to give a heads up to our audience that this might be a tense morning in the morning, because I was told, again, that there aren't very many tickets to be bought. And me personally, I know at least, like, 200 people that have been trying to, like, or 200 tickets that will be sold from, like, you know, people trying to, I know at least 50 people trying to buy four tickets, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Oh, that's going to be nuts. It's
gonna be a bunch of rich people just golf clapping in there.
Right. It might be. It might be. And if you don't have the atmosphere, it will affect the team. It will affect Vitello.
I mean, you could just tell how much the team feeds off of it, man.
But
crazy.
If you're looking at it from a business, Draven, if you're
I get it. Money. Money talks.
I was just going to say, if you're Danny White, like, you want the people with the most money to be investing in this program, because you're going to have to, you know, sell them on $30 million of renovations. And, hey, come watch this team actually win something, and you're a top-five team. And, again, you have the second-best odds to win the title right now. Isn't this fun? Buy season tickets. Because, you know, if Tennessee expands to 11,000 seats or whatever the number is, like, you know, whatever the number is that Tennessee tries to expand to with renovations, you're going to have to sell those tickets, and you're going to need the people with the big money to want to buy season tickets there as well. So it's how you grow a program, but you're going to lose the soul of your program.
I mean, we can't do that during the regular season.
Exactly.
Do that during a different time.
No, you're exactly right. Like, it's not the time to do it.
Yeah.
It's not the time to do it. Like, I guarantee you Tony Vitello would be like, you know what, figure it out on how to get the money in the offseason. Like, don't take away from our atmosphere. Because, I mean, you don't go up to the crowd high-fiving and slapping people in the head unless you're, like, feeding off that atmosphere. There's no coincidence that he did that right behind the first base dugout, right? Like, where they're at.
Yep.
Like, he hears it all game. Like, that has to fire them up.
Right.
And, you know, this atmosphere might get hijacked. It might not, though. Like, maybe, you know, for one weekend, everything will be fine. It'll be just as rowdy. But
I doubt it.
It seems problematic.
How many tickets? You say 300?
I was told by someone in the ticket office 350 tickets.
Well,
and only in, like, basically only down the left field line where the pop-up bleachers are going to be.
That's crazy.
Another thing, with people with these deep pockets, which they're totally trying to cater right here, they like their space. They like their privacy. They have the money to be able to buy it. So I think that's the big thing, too, is because they're taking up all those seats. That's why they're just throwing everybody else over there. They're like, who cares if they're even here? We're getting all the money we need for the future.
Yep. Danny White, to the rest of all nations, smells like broken here.
Aggravating.
Smells like broken here. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.